This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I got to start today off with something that happened this morning. And maybe I'm the idiot. I mean,
yeah, you sure are, kid.
So I come in today. We have the where Odyssey Buffalo is located is Corporate Parkway. It's a big building. It's off Maple, and we have it's a complex, right? So you walk in, and when you walk up to inside our building, there's a bunch of different offices. There's a doctor's office and a dentist office and I think a law firm and whatever. And we're up on the second floor. But it's a big complex. And this one building that we're in, you have restrooms on the first floor and on the second floor, as you know, Josh, right? So sometimes I drive in, I'm having my coffee, I get here, I use the restroom before I even come into the where the studios are. You got to walk into a separate door to get to all of the studios where you have WGR and Kiss 98.5 and WBEN, and we're all right here. So a lot of times I'll just go in and use the restroom and then come on upstairs. So today, I walk into the restroom and I see, I'll say, a higher up ranking employee of Odyssey brushing his teeth in the bathroom. I just laughed because you just gave me the look that I gave, which is like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's kind of odd, right? It's not something you see every day, right? Am I right, wrong about this? I need your help on this for a second.
I don't think that's something normal at all.
Right, so I see a higher up ranking employee. This is the 9:30 in the morning, brushing his teeth inside one of the sinks. There's like four sinks, as you know, right? I'm like, oh, hey. I said, how are you? Good. I said, do you do this often? Like, brush your teeth here? He goes, yeah. What am I going to do? Walk around with coffee breath all day? And I thought to myself, okay, number one, how many people do something like this? Is this normal behavior for people at an office? Because I do not normally see this. And then, the second question after that comment to me, I got to was, maybe I'm the one that should be brushing his teeth. I just had a cup of coffee, two of them actually, before I came here.
I was just going to say, it's not that crazy of a reason, actually.
Right.
Because I sit here and I'm drinking coffee all morning too. And then when people come in to talk to me at, you know, like this time or like later, I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't have coffee breath. Because sometimes I can tell.
Yes.
Right. But like there's ways you can do it without having to brush your teeth though. If you mix in water, like sip of coffee, sip of water, that helps. Actually, I asked my dentist about that one. They said it helps. So that's dentist approved right there. But that's not a bad idea, actually. It's a little weird to be doing it in the bathroom, maybe. Like, maybe you could just have a bottle of water and do it at your desk or something. But.
Well, where are you going to, you have to drink it then, don't you? If you're going to aren't you going to spit the water out?
You just got
a
garbage. I don't know.
There is a bistro here. There is a sink. You can do that, but that's kind of the sink where people actually, you know, use to. wash dishes and plates right. and stuff like that, right?
Would it be grosser to do it at your desk and just have to, you know, rinse your mouth and spit in the garbage? Or would it be grosser in the work bathroom?
I think you go to the bathroom inside the office complex is probably, if you're going to do it, you do it.
Yeah, I guess.
I just had not seen someone do that. And now I'm thinking maybe I'm the one who should be doing that when I get here in the morning. Oh, and I don't know. What do you think? Am I off here?
No.
I thought it was weird.
I would definitely say that I think it's a little out of the ordinary.
If you walked in and saw that, what would be your reaction? You walk in, you see one of your, let's say a manager here of some sort,
right.
okay, brushing his teeth in the sink of the office complex bathroom. What is your reaction?
If I'm being completely honest with you and everyone listening right now, I would plow right through that and not say a word to anybody.
Even if you had a good relationship with the person, you just kind of would. I know this person very well. Like we're friends.
I think, I'd have to be pretty comfy. Like, if I saw Jeremy doing this in the morning, like, I come in and I go
okay,
use
that's
the
a great example.
Right.
And
I walk into the bathroom. It's.
Do you just kind of don't say anything to him?
I, you know what would probably happen? I would probably not say anything. And then later in the day, I would go, I can't wrap my mind around this. And I would not be able to sleep at night until I asked
right.
whoever I saw, like, what's going on?
Is this new? So my first inclination was he got here late.
Right.
He was in a hurry. He had a meeting. So he got here, going to see, he's going to be in a meeting of some sort.
Right.
So he needed to brush his teeth.
Yeah.
That was kind of my first inclination. But I'm like, hey, you do this a lot.
Right. Yeah.
And he goes, what am I going to do? Walk around with coffee breath all day? And I thought, well, that means you probably do this a lot after you have coffee. Yeah. Because he said yes.
That
yes.
also means that this person has an office toothbrush and a home toothbrush.
Right.
Because there's
the
no way
part
you're bringing
this.
There's no way you're remembering to pack your toothbrush every morning. I sometimes almost forget my coffee.
Well, I mean, you know, that is true. If you,
but if
you could very well, if you have an office here, you might have toiletries here.
Oh, like in. Here we go. In the pencil cup, you have your toothbrush in there.
Oh, man.
Yes or no?
I don't even want to go there.
One of those little
but
covers on it.
I will tell you, there are many times in my life I'm driving and thinking, I wish I had my toothbrush with me.
I
feel
there.
Like I need to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't drink coffee, so that, I think, definitely alleviates me from this specific
okay.
situation. But there are definitely times where I'm like, I could use a portable toothbrush in the back pocket right now.
All right, so we got to get to John here, who's going to share a story with us. And I don't even know where this is going to go. John, go ahead. I know you've called before. You've worked in the media, so this doesn't surprise me what you're about to say. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, I can tell you that I have brushed my teeth at every single NFL stadium, probably 90% of the indoor arenas with the NHL or NBA teams. In fact, when I worked the Sabres games on the home broadcast, I have often been caught by Marty Baron brushing my teeth in one of the upper floor.
Wow! Is it to the point now where Marty just kind of, hey, how you doing, John? Or does he say something or anything like that?
Well, I think he just gives me a kind of side-eye strange look.
Right.
If he sees me. But, I carry, and also every major airport I have brushed my teeth in as well.
Okay. See, the airport thing is not uncommon. Like, if you're traveling and you carry your toiletries in your bag maybe with you because you get to an airport and you're like, okay, I'm a little sweaty or whatever's happening, my breath, I gotta kind of take care of myself before I get to the next flight. I totally get that. I've changed in airport bathrooms or many other bathrooms, obviously. I've actually shaved in an airport bathroom before, right? I mean, like, I've had to do that, too.
I have, too.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. All right. All right, what about this? We got AJ in Orchard Park is going to chime in on this. Hi, AJ, go ahead. You're on WGR.
Oh, man, I've had a manager tell me when I first started in sales, the difference between getting a sale and not is bad breath. So every time the dentist every 6 months gives me one of those packages with floss,
yep.
toothbrush, I keep that. That's in my office, in my car. I've got those little Crest one-use toothbrushes, and I keep a razor on hand
yeah.
in my car in
See?
Case I miss the spot shaving on my head or my face.
You know, what's funny is I'm 52, and I've always said I should have a toothbrush or I should have a razor, and I don't do that. There has to be something where I should be basically having that on hand. I got to put that in the console, and I don't have that, and you're right. I think about it, and I never actually go back and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, it's definitely helped out. I drink 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day. And, you know, your breath takes a beating, especially after lunch. So,
yeah.
That's a power move, especially if you're going to be talking to people face-to-face.
Well, how about this, AJ? For me, especially, like, sometimes I got to, like, maybe impromptu go on TV, right? I mean, people are like, hey, something happened, and you're like, all of a sudden, I'm with Josh Reed of Channel 4, and he's like, we're going to talk about the Bills. Can you come on with me? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like, it could happen, right? You're at the stadium. So you're right about that. Like, that's something I should think about in my life a little bit more maybe than I do. Okay, you can get connected with us. You never know where discussions are going to take us, and this is a discussion that we didn't know was going to take us. At 803-0550, but also at Sal Sports. I have some interesting tweets about this. Thank you. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Chris says, I have clear aligners, so I have to brush my teeth after every time I eat, but I put them back in, so I brush my teeth at work twice a day. Kyle says, the whole conversation reminds him of Family Guy episode. I had no, or song, I guess. Okay, I didn't know this. Chris says, disgusting and gross to brush your teeth at work. Go chew some gum. Not the spot to do it. I don't know, Chris. A lot of people are disagreeing with you, to be quite honest with you. Tony, with an I, says, I drink coffee in the office every day, then brush my teeth. He has a travel toothbrush. Not unusual to see a coworker brushing teeth. It is... No, he says it's funny listening how traumatic this is. It's not traumatic, Tony. It's not traumatic, all right? But it is definitely something I did not expect to see and was wondering, like, if this is normal behavior because I didn't see, have not seen this before, but thank you. Dawn, I work in the Rath building downtown. The ladies brush their teeth and even water pick in the ladies' room. Okay. And then we have Cruz says, my recommendation to folks is to be cautious of brushing right after consuming certain beverages. Okay, well, I think that he is a dentist. Yes, I'm looking at his profile here. Thank you. Okay. The other day, I got an email. Not an email. I got a letter. Actually, it wasn't the other day. A couple of months ago, got a letter from someone. A lot of times I get letters like this. I don't respond, but I read them, and I'm like, okay. I get hate mail, get love you mail, all that kind of stuff. It's okay. People having a right to kind of do that. But this particular one did say that, you know, you should, you know, people always tell us what we should talk about. Talk about this, talk about that. I want to hear more about baseball, basketball, college sports, all that kind of stuff. And then one of the comments from the letter basically said, you guys have way too many mundane, stupid, boring conversations about things that have nothing to do with sports. And my response was exactly this, which is, sometimes those conversations actually carry us way more than we thought they would because people are listening going, oh yeah, I can totally relate to that. So there you go. That's the brushing teeth conversation. We just had it. We're not having a whole show on it, but it took us 13 minutes and you can still chime in. 803-0550, the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you today. We are going to have Paul Hamilton at 10:30 today. Join us here to talk a little bit about the Sabres' move yesterday of hiring Eric Staal. The apparent non-move with Kevin Adams. He's going to be retained as general manager. It appears that is the case. And then, you know, have Eric Staal kind of join him. Is there going to be somebody else joining him in the front office? We'll see about that. The Seth Appert report. He'll have more of a say maybe in scouting, hockey operations. So all of this we'll get with Paul Hamilton coming up at 10:30 and the NHL playoffs. At 11 o'clock, Ryan Green is going to join me. Ryan is great. Down in Jacksonville, radio host. He's been on before. Hacker. He's got a radio show. I think it's Hacker After Dark. Is that what it is? But either way, yes. He's terrific. And he's in Jacksonville. So he's going to kind of fill in some of the gaps of the Gabe Davis situation. I've been on with Ryan quite a bit. He's been on here, and I will say that, like, if you wanted to kind of know where things went with Gabe, why he's out there now, Ryan would be the guy to kind of help steer you there. So we're going to have him on at 11 a.m. today. I feel bad. He said he's in Disney World with his wife and kid, but he's like, dude, I'll do it, though. I felt really bad. So he offered. He said he would do it. I said, I don't want to have you come on here if you're at Disney World with your kid and all that. No, no, I want to come on with you on WGR. All right. So Ryan Hacker's going to join us at 11 a.m. We're going to talk about Gabe Davis. I want to talk about that with you at 803-0550. What do you think? Yay or nay? I mean, simple as that. I have to be honest with you. I have seen a lot of probably way more than expected pushback on any idea of Gabe Davis rejoining the Bills from Bills fans. Yes, I knew that that would happen. There would be some of that. There's also going to be people going, hell yeah, I'll bring him back. There were much fewer, hell yeah, bring him backs. Then we're, oh no, don't want any part of that. A lot more of that. And maybe it's just the unsilent minority that I read on social media that's like that. But I am very curious what you think and why. Make your case either way. So I'd like to do that here for the next 10 minutes or so before we get Paul Hamilton on. All right? Give me a call. I want you to make your case, yay or nay, if the Bills should be interested in bringing Gabe Davis back. It does not mean it would happen even if they are interested. It would not mean it would happen even if he's interested. The money's got to be right. I know there's offset language. There's a lot of things to balance here. It's not the part of it. You could say if it's cheap deal. Let's just say it is. Cheap deal. You don't have to worry about it. Not going to cost that much in the salary cap. Yay or nay, make your case. Should the Bills be interested in re-signing Gabe Davis and bringing him back to a wide receiver room that includes Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Joshua Palmer, Curtis Samuel, Elijah Moore, and of course, Tyrell Shavers, Laviska Shenault, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, newly drafted Caden Prather. What do you say? I was surprised at the pushback. The aggressive pushback from so many about it. And you could tell me why that is. I respect and understand the point of, hey, we moved on, wasn't worth it with the money he got, and I agree with that at the time. Where's he going to fit right now? Totally get that. I also understand the other side, which is, what could it hurt? Like, you're elevating the room. Bringing in someone they know, competition, right? All of that. I think you sign a guy like that, I don't know what the downside is. But I certainly respect and understand people who feel that the Bills don't need that. This is not Justin Jefferson becoming available, with all due respect, right? That's not the case. This is a guy that probably fits in as your third or fourth wide receiver at this point. But is that worth it to you? And maybe you think, no, he's not even that, Sal. He'd be number five or six. 803-0550. Give me your case, yay or nay, if the Bills should be interested in reuniting with Gabe Davis. We'll have Ryan Hacker on at 11 a.m. from down in Jacksonville. He'll tell us a little bit more about why things are where they are with Gabe Davis, or got to where they got with Gabe Davis, and a little bit on the Jags offseason, which has been very eventful, actually. Lots of changes in their front office, head coach, draft, Travis Hunter, the trade they made with the Browns. They have this release here, Gabe Davis, all of that. That's Ryan Hacker. 10:30 coming up soon. Paul Hamilton, your phone calls first. Jeff in Buffalo is going to start us off. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR. What do you think?
Hey, I see. I'm a nay, and let me give you a little bit of my what I feel about it. You know, when he was here in the last, couple seasons, we were like, oh, got to get Gabe Davis the ball, got to give him the ball. They even tried moving him inside. The take in the NFL, I do a little bit of research. Great blocker, not much separation. He's a physical guy. We'll get you, some touchdowns that way. But my other take on it is, you see this team, the way they draft it, and especially on, the defensive line, they want to get younger. and, you know, move past that. And that's the way I feel about the wide receiver room. You know, not so much that he's an older dude, but he's been here. You tried your, you know, your crack with him. And, yeah, he got you some really good touchdowns, again, being physical and fighting for the ball. But I'd really like to see a little bit more speed, and I think that's what the Bills are trying to do in that room, is get a little bit more speed on the outside. And you always got Keon Coleman to sort of hopefully replace Davis in that physical role. But, yeah, I just see it.
Right.
One more thing.
Yeah.
As far as that defensive line goes, you know, and them drafting, you know, them big boys up front, I see Daquan Jones like, you know, what's the ramifications of letting him go?
Let me look that up for you. I had that earlier. I've looked it up earlier before, I should say, but let me just do that for you while you're on right now. Hold on. I'll go to Over the Cap. You got SpotTrack, Over the Cap. They both do a great job of this. If they were to release him right now, post June 1, they would save $5.5 million, but they would take a $3.9 million dead cap. So it's not out of the realm to do something like that. You'd eat close to $4 million, which you wouldn't love, but you would save $5.5 million on the cap.
Right, and plus you got those rookies to start, hopefully.
I think more than anything for me, Jeff, for Daquan, it is the money. That's always matters. It's, do you have someone capable enough to do that job? Because you could say they drafted these guys, but are they ready to play that role? You know what I mean? That would be it for me.
But is he really like, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's had a couple of good seasons, especially when I first got here. But with that run defense, and he's in there, and he's not, you know.
Again, but what's your alternative? What's your alternative?
You would hope that maybe this Deion guy can plug some holes, or they can play three technique across the board in there. You know,
correct, Jeff, but you just said it, the word, you hope. You don't know that. That's the issue I'm having. Like, I think more than anything, it's a football decision at this point. I know, Jeff. Really I know. I get it. You understand what I'm saying, though? You can't just say, well, hey, we hope these guys are good. You got to make sure they are before you do that.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean?
That's just a thought I had, and you know, if it happens this summer, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't either, Jeff. Thanks a lot for the phone call. I'm totally with you, but I don't think you just do it out of, you can't do it in a vacuum. I think you got to have these guys show that they can play the one technique. Butch, on the east side, what do you think, Butch?
My brother, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
I love WGR, and to the fans who listen and watch, I definitely love you. My brother, I'm going to get right to it. Number one is, let me tell you something. To me personally, it's an embarrassment and it's disrespectful to even be speaking about another wide receiver on this team. Brandon Bean has done enough for this season, filling that wide receiver. Secondly, Gabe Davis is trash. That's one. He had one big game in a playoff and he had 200-something yards. Well, we could have went to the Super Bowl in 13 seconds. We lost the game. That was it. That's his highlight of his whole entire career. Before he left, he was lazy. He wasn't really fighting. He was injured. I'm giving respect on that. But see, sometimes you can smell yourself so well that you think you're so good that you disrespect who paid you, who fed you, who nurtured you, and you go somewhere else and you won't even stay there a year. And they figure you out like you figure them out. And they really understand talent. You don't have it. You're done. My thing is, I just spoke about this with Steve and Browning the other day. I said, please, fans, please, guys. Brandon Bean has done enough feeding this refrigerator with wide receivers. We don't want to speak about that. We got two free agents. Undrafted, Mississippi Baylor. We got a guy we drafted from Maryland. We got two guys we signed, one from the Chargers, one from the Browns. We already got receivers that we already have in staff. We already had a guy named Terrell Shavers. We already got tight ends that's worthy. To me, personally, to me, it is totally, totally disrespectful to the organization to even bring this up. In the first place. Secondly, and I don't want to sound redundant, but he's trash.
All right.
He's done.
All right. I love you, man. I don't agree with you. He's not trash.
Last thing.
Yeah, you got it.
To the last caller, my friend, let me just say this to you. Daquan Jones is going to be so motivated based off, again, what Brandon has done already, bringing other D linemen in, that I can see him playing better than he's ever have, plugging these holes, filling those gaps while these guys got to sit out 5 games. I love you, my brother. Kiss the queen. Give my nephew a high five. And I love you. I don't mean to sound so urgent.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm going to tell you this, Butch. I love you too, buddy, but I totally disagree. I don't think Gabe Davis is trash at all. He might not be an all-pro wide receiver. He's had four consecutive seasons, all with the Bills, in the top 10 of yards per reception in this league. He is the number two wide receiver ever in this organization as far as touchdown catches in the postseason. I don't think that translates to trash. I don't think it's disrespectful at all to add talent to a room, but you don't think it's talent. It is not disrespectful to have more competition anywhere across the board. That said, good call. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, as always. Matt in Hamburg. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad I got to come on here right after that call. I was listening to Butch, and I mean, I love listening to Butch. He calls a lot, but I was with him. I was like, yeah. I was like, Bean has done enough at wide receiver. And then he said Gabe Davis is trash. And I was originally calling to just say, hey, you know what? We might be good at receiver for this year, but if they brought Davis back, I think his biggest – the reason he might not have looked as great in Buffalo for a while, I think it's just because of the way we used him. Mm-hmm. You just keep putting him on the outside. He's not that fast. He couldn't separate as well. But if you remember in the last season he was with us, we played, I think it was against the Jets, and they started using him underneath and over the middle. And while I know we're pretty short up at the slot position, he was awesome when they did that. He was productive. I think he had like team high in catches that game. It was like 9 or 10 catches that game alone. I don't know. If we were to bring him back, I would just be hopeful that we didn't just put him on the outside and run him on fly routes again. That's all I got.
All right, but I got you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Real quick, let's get to James in New Jersey so he doesn't have to wait through Paul Hamilton. Go ahead, James.
Hey, Sal, great show.
Thanks.
I'm not sold on it, but I think he'd make a good Mac Hollins replacement. Mm-hmm. Good blocker, limited touches, and he's got the familiarity with Josh. So, I mean, if it's cheap, one-year deal, why not?
Yeah, I, you know what's funny?
I have one question.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Yeah, go ahead.
So a lot of speculation on the schedule.
Yeah.
I never hear anybody speculating the Bills to Madrid against the Dolphins. It's always either London or Ireland. Is Madrid not an option for the Bills?
I have to look. No, I mean, I think the reason would be I can't imagine they would put a division game there, but you're right. Let me look into the rules, but I think technically it would be open. They generally don't do that with division games, but you're right. Let me look and see, but thanks, James. I appreciate that. I'll take a look at that just to see why we're not maybe giving a little more space to that. You know what I mean?
That'd be a great takeover Spain trip for Bills.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a divisional game there. I don't know if they would do something like that. The Dolphins, you know, the NFL and the Dolphins. But then again, Bills do take over South Florida, and maybe they say, put the Bills in Spain instead of in Miami so we don't have as many Bills fans take over our stadium. Maybe they say that, right, James? I get you, buddy. Thank you.
If they do it, I'm booking it.
All right, you got it. I'm going to take a look into that. Paul Hamilton on the way next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. By the way, great calls, and it is a great example. What we just had of exactly what I said earlier. Very polarizing player, very polarizing topic. You have some people very aggressive about not wanting Gabe Davis back, and then you have others going, what are you talking about? He can help. Love it. We'll get Paul Hamilton next, and then Ryan Hackert from Jacksonville on Gabe Davis and the Jags at 11 a.m. on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, Paul Hamilton up next here on the Wester Hotline. Sabres made an official announcement yesterday that Eric Staal has been hired as a special assistant to the general manager. As you and I talked about, Paul, earlier this week, it's not like they're going to announce that Kevin Adams has been retained. You just kind of keep going, and that's what it appears here, right? So can we basically safely assume now that Kevin Adams will remain the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres through the into next season?
Yeah. You know, between being there for the
when they were talking about the lottery and this. And, yeah, absolutely he'll be back. And he's going into the last year of his contract. So okay. We'll see, you know, where this takes him.
All right. So what will Eric Staal's role be? On a day-to-day basis, what have you learned or can figure out about what Eric Staal will actually be doing as a member of the Buffalo Sabres organization?
Well, he didn't really know when he was on with Brian Duff and Marty yesterday. He basically said, you know, he's going to be here this week for meetings and he'll do whatever they ask him to do. And he basically said he's here to learn, you know, learn the ins and outs of the front office and the hockey department and what to do. And it could be anything. And he said he'll do whatever Kevin Adams, you know, asks him to do. It's almost like he sounds like an intern, you know,
yeah.
The way he's talking that. And that's not uncommon in this league. You know, I was saying earlier, it reminded me kind of Danny Briere with the Flyers,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he just, you know, came aboard, started learning the ropes. And next thing you know, he was a general manager in the American Hockey League. And then from there, he became a general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers and just, you know, learned on the fly. And there have been other NHL veterans who have done that around the league, too, that have been hired. And, you know, Eric Staal, of course, has had a lot of experience in the National Hockey League with 18 years. He won a Stanley Cup. He's won a gold medal. He's very well respected around the league. And I remember even the little time he was here, and I was reminded yesterday because I had forgotten. I never met him when he was here because that was during COVID, mm-hmm. and the only time we talked to him was by Zoom. We weren't at the arena. We weren't allowed there to cover or have interaction with players other than by Zoom. So I never actually met the man while he was here for a short time as a player.
It's not uncommon in any walk of life, especially sports. And I made this point yesterday for anybody who's upset about it, I mean, who cares? I mean, if you could be upset that they don't do more, that's fine. But bringing Eric Staal into an organization is not uncommon. And I'm going to give you another example. Dan Morgan, right? Dan Morgan was a great linebacker. After his playing career, he was hired as a scout by the Seattle Seahawks. He's now the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, right? I mean, like, this stuff happens sometimes. And if you have a relationship with somebody who wants to bring you aboard, the question is, from a day-to-day operation, my vision is, and here's the way I've interpreted it, just kind of looking at it, is this something, given what Kevin Adams said about palm trees and getting players to come here, getting a guy like Eric Staal, who has a lot of success in this league, could you see a role where he's going to be maybe the guy that talks to people around the league to tell them, hey, Buffalo's a good place to go. Trust me, I'm just about like you guys. I've been around this league, and I will tell you, this is fine, and you can come here, and you can be a part of something good. Could that be maybe what his role is?
Well, remember when Zucker re-signed, that was one of the things he said, that it's not as bad as people think it is. He goes, Buffalo isn't looked at the way some people think they are looked at around the league. So, it certainly can help in that sense that a guy like Eric Staal would come here and do that. And remember, too, Anderson was hired as a scout last year. Nobody raised an eyebrow about that. I mean, he didn't have any experience as a scout or anything like that. And you saw him around Buffalo every now and then. He'd come in and talk to the goaltenders and because they had a lot of respect for him when he played here. But he went right from his career into scouting. Ryan Miller did a little scouting, you know, right away, coming in for Mike Greer. It's not uncommon for a player to come right out of playing days and do something like that. Now, you know, this is fine. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a great thing. I think it's fine for what it is. He's a special mm-hmm. assistant to the GM. It just can't be the only move,
right?
You know, for the hockey department, and I don't think it is.
Okay, let's go on that, because Elliot Friedman also reported yesterday that he has heard the Sabres are going to add or looking to add a senior advisor to work with Kevin Adams, somebody who has maybe been in a GM chair before or in a big chair, is the way he put it, somebody who's been higher up, but he would still report to Kevin Adams. Is that the type of move that you think could move the needle a little bit and help Kevin Adams, or is that still falling short?
No, that's the type of move that they need. They need somebody with some experience like that and some GM experience to be able to bounce off. And so, you know, that might be one of the reasons why it's, you know, I keep hearing too that, you know, Karmanos might not be back, you know, as, you know, assistant to the general manager and the GM of the Amerks. Unlike Danny Briere, when I was talking about him, who, when he became GM of the AHL team, lived there. Karmanos doesn't, and he does a lot of things remotely, and maybe they want somebody more hands-on. And let's face it, it's not working. It's working in Rochester, I will say that. Rochester has done very well, but as far as advising Kevin Adams and, you know, what's happening, the way they're doing it isn't working. I think there's too much agreement. I don't think a lot of people challenge Kevin Adams because I think a lot of people on this in the hockey department don't have the experience to challenge. They don't know any better. They don't know that Kevin Adams, this decision maybe isn't a good one, or that decision is maybe not a good one. And that's what you're going to get if you bring in somebody with some experience. And, you know, even before Kevin Adams was hired, I've talked about Rick Dudley, somebody of that nature, who's done the job, who's you know, very good at play, you know, recognizing players and player development and those types of things, to be able to say, guys, you know, what you've been doing here, maybe this isn't right. Maybe you might want to try something different like this, you know, and that's what they need in this hockey department.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Hur Hotline. Looks like the Sabres are going to be making a few changes, some tweaks along the way. Seth Appert's name also brought up, Paul. What can you tell us about possibility that Seth Appert reportedly could have a little bit more of a hand in the hockey operations?
Well, that was brought up by a guy who also said J.J. Paterka was being, you know, shopped hard to the New York Rangers, which absolutely was false. You know, so I'll take it with a grain of salt. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I am saying it makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, which makes me wonder, you know, Seth Appert has enough problems trying to figure out Lindy Ruff's power play and coaching it. You know, I think Seth Appert did a good job with Paterka and with Kulik. You know, kind of as, you know, mentoring, because he was coaching them since they, you know, came into professional hockey. And I think he helped both those players be better last year. But I don't think I need him. What is he going to do with the hockey department? I mean, concentrate on the job you have, you know, and the coaching staff. That's enough. You don't need anything more to do. And if Kevin Adams thinks he should be in the hockey department, then put him there and hire somebody else on the coaching staff. But it, to me, it's asinine. I don't get it at all. How he wants him to split time between the coaching staff and in the hockey, doing what? I don't get it. I'm not convinced that's accurate, but I'm also not saying it's not. It just makes no sense to me.
We'll get more on what the Sabres plan on doing with some of their RFAs. The draft is coming up a lot more here heading into the offseason. But on the ice, of course, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. Last night, the Stars go into Winnipeg. They win 3-2. And how about the Maple Leafs? 4-3 over the Florida Panthers, Paul. This Maple Leafs team has shown, really, most of the, I would say second half of the year especially, but really all year, they can win tight games. This is a bit of a differently built Maple Leafs team, it feels like.
It is, but look, they're better defensively than they've ever been, I think.
Built, maybe they're built mentally different, Paul. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like they're more comfortable in these situations than they have been.
Right. I think it's because they have made a concerted effort to be better defensively and are. I remember when the Sabres played them. The Sabres had, you know, they couldn't penetrate them to try to score and wound up being shut out by Stolarz, who has been injured. He didn't play that game. I think the biggest difference right now is Florida Bobrovsky. He hasn't been Bobrovsky in net. And he's been a little bit more like the Bobrovsky we all knew that was a great regular season goaltender and not a very good playoff goaltender until all of a sudden, a couple years ago, he was inserted into a game in their first-round series and all of a sudden performed in the playoffs, something he had never done before and never lost the net. He did it right through winning the Stanley Cup last year. So it just he finally figured out a way to become the regular season Bobrovsky in the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, these first two games in against Toronto, he hasn't been the regular season and playoff Bobrovsky. He's been kind of the old guy, and it's hurt Florida. I mean, Florida won the Stanley Cup because he was phenomenal last year, and along with them playing well too. But they can't afford to have him not playing at the top of his game if they want to repeat.
How about Hellebuck? Another loss for the Winnipeg Jets last night, and goaltender that they got through it in the first round, but wasn't because he was his normal self, obviously, what we've seen in the regular season.
Yeah, he wasn't awful last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, the goals that were scored on him were legit goals, but how about
Rantanen? And that's where I should have started. You're right. I mean, oh, my gosh.
To a point where during the regular season, I was like, what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
Can he only just play with Nate McKinnon? And is Nate McKinnon the reason that this guy was a superstar in Colorado? And it was, you know, Carolina. He wasn't scoring. It didn't really go well in Dallas. And then all of a sudden the playoffs came, and he's doing things that nobody has ever done before in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, he is just – you know, back-to-back, not only four-point games, four-point periods in the playoffs. I mean, he has one in the second period of one game. Next game, he has one in the third period. And then he scores the hat trick in this game. It's just, it's mind-boggling what he's been doing.
Paul, the Utah Mammoth, what do you think about that?
I'm good.
All right.
I just didn't want it to be the hockey club.
I know, right? I know.
And I don't know, I don't understand why it took till now, why they had to be the hockey club for 1 year, but whatever. They don't care if I understand it or not, but I'm just very, very happy that it's not the hockey club. So I'm good with it.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot, buddy. I appreciate it. Utah Mammoth. Get ready for them next year. That's their name. Thanks a lot, man. Have a great rest of your week and weekend.
Take care, Sal.
All right, you got it. Paul Hamilton right there on the Wester Hotline. And as always, Paul's appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for more details. All right, speaking of the Utah Mammoth, I tweeted this out yesterday. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. Doesn't matter. I'm going to say it anyway. Good trivia question for you to impress all of your friends with today. I'll give you all the answer to it even when we come back here before the next time after that, which is going to bring us Ryan Green from Jacksonville on Gabe Davis being released and the Jags. But good trivia question, sports trivia question for you with the answer to help you impress your friends today. Coming up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I see Owen's actually taking off his headphones. I was going to get him in on this. But either way, I got you here, Josh. I wanted to do both of them. That's all right. Maybe we can get his attention here. Did you see what I tweeted out yesterday? I don't know if you did, but I don't know. See, I was trying to get Owen's attention there. He might have seen this. A little trivia question for you. The Mammoth now. There he goes. He's getting it on. Okay, Owen, did you see the trivia question or the little bit of information I gave yesterday after the Mammoth name was announced?
I don't think I did.
Okay, let's do this real quick, okay, between the two of you. They become the 11th either NBA, NHL, NFL, or MLB team to have a name that doesn't end in S.
Oh.
Can you name them between the two of you?
Wild.
The Mammoth.
Okay. Wild, yep.
Wild, we got Lightning. That. Yep. Hold on. Wild. Lightning, yep. That's two hockey down. You got Mammoth, obviously. I gave you that. That's three. Who else?
Okay.
I don't know why it ends there, but
no, just, I mean,
there's two more hockey.
Yeah.
NHL.
Golden Knights. Wild. Man, now I got to think about.
They're both
divisions, and
mm-hmm. I'll say, you got to go west. West for both. One's a newer team, just maybe the last expansion.
Kraken. Kraken.
Seattle Kraken.
Kraken. Yes. Yep. Nice.
One more NHL.
West.
Another Western team that won a cup not too long ago.
Avalanche.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not so the Avs. The right. Avalanche. That's right. All right. That's it for hockey.
Okay.
We have two in baseball, and the reason why they sound like they end in S, but they don't.
Ooh. Good.
Padres?
Hint.
No, that ends in S.
That's got an S.
Oh, you
on
said
there.
It's. Oh, it sounds. Okay.
Sounds.
Sorry.
Like it.
Your dad actually roots for this team.
The Red Sox.
Yes. And. Oh. And.
The White Sox.
There you
White
go.
Sox, yep. That makes sense.
The way you said that made it sound like it had an S, but it didn't.
All right.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah, yeah.
And then finally, we have four of them in basketball.
Basketball?
Oh.
This is not my
one
zone.
Is currently playing in the playoffs. They played last
Celtics,
night.
Celtics, Cavaliers, no.
Played last night.
Warriors, no.
Played they last. Crushed Whoa. It last night.
I don't need. I have,
who's
I don't
playing the Nuggets?
NBA even a
the
bit.
Thunder.
The Thunder.
Thunder.
There it is. I couldn't I think should of know who's that. Playing
my,
the Nuggets.
My dad is big on the Thunder right
there
now.
There you go. Speaking of weather-related teams in the NBA, not just the Thunder, another team down south. Yeah, the humidity is really bad because the heat is very bad. Miami Heat. And then you got to go to the land of Disney.
The Magic.
The Orlando Magic. And then... I don't know why this team. It's one of the worst names for a team in a certain city because
the Jazz.
Yes,
yeah, the Jazz.
The Utah Jazz. So for all of you out there, listen up. Impress your friends tonight. Go around and tell them there are 11 teams. Tell them, ask them. Can you name the 11 teams? But there's no NFL, by the way.
Right. That's interesting.
The 11 teams in NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball whose name does not end in S: Mammoth, Lightning, Wild, Kraken, Avalanche. Five in NHL. Red Sox, White Sox, Thunder, Magic, Heat, Jazz.
Good list. Good list.
A lot of those teams, the baseball aren't, but a lot of those teams are newer teams. It's kind of a newer trend, right?
Yeah.
It's a newer trend.
Definitely feel like it gets brought up more and more to have a sort of non-plural name of a team.
No doubt.
It's interesting.
All right, we'll take a timeout. Ryan Green down in Jacksonville going to join us next here to talk Gabe Davis and the Jags here on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, we got Mother's Day coming up this weekend. So make sure you are getting her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400 at over 70% savings, $375. Check that out. Go to getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Always great to catch up with Ryan Green from 1010 XL down in Jacksonville. And we have a good reason to, because Gabe Davis was released by the Jags yesterday. Kind of happened, it's a little over 24 hours ago, right before I came on the air yesterday here at 10 a.m. I was on with Joe DiBiase in the morning. It happened, and we're right away like, okay, tying some things together. Should he come back to Buffalo? We've had some really good conversations about it. Figured I'd get with Ryan and ask him, where did it go wrong after 1 year in Jacksonville with Gabe Davis? You're also down in Disney World, and I feel so bad taking you away from your lovely wife and child, man. Thank you for doing this today.
Sal, no problem, man. I need a break from Mickey Mouse for about 10 minutes, so I almost appreciate you.
You got it. Okay, we won't keep you too long then today, but I do want to ask you exactly what went wrong with Gabe Davis. How did the Jaguars get to this point after only 1 year with him?
Well, I mean, it was an injury-plagued year last year for him. I'll be honest. I know I talked to you on my show when they signed Gabe Davis. I was really high on Gabe Davis. A lot of people were coming back to his home state. Your family was going to be able to come see him, and training camp was great. You know, preseason was great, and it just did not translate at all in the regular season. And the interesting thing was Gabe Davis's best game as a Jaguar was the loss in London to Chicago, where he actually caught two touchdown passes. But in that same game, Sal, he dropped two touchdown passes. And it became very clear very quickly that Gabe Davis, the expectations we all had, were kind of going out the window at that point. He got injured about 3 or 4 weeks later. It's a brutal knee injury against Detroit. Missed the rest of the year. And we'll go down here in Jacksonville. I think it's a legit conversation that he's got to be in the top 10, maybe the top 5 of worst free agent signings the Jaguars have ever made. 1 year, 20 catches, 200-some-odd yards, a couple of touchdowns, 3 year, $39 million contract. It just simply did not work with Gabe Davis and the Jaguars.
Okay, so they're moving on, eating a lot of money. If they don't have the regime change, do they do this, or is that also part of this?
No, I think the regime change is probably part of it. They're getting rid of as many Trent Baalke guys as they possibly can, which is a good thing because the Jaguars have been the worst organization in football for the better part of 12 to 15 years. James Gladstone, the 34-year-old general manager, Liam Cohen, the 39-year-old head coach, they've put their stamp on this organization. They were the most active team in free agency. But, Sal, they didn't overspend in free agency. They talked about wanting to raise the floor of the roster, and I certainly think they've done that. They bring in guys like Eric Murray, bring in a guy like Robert Hainsey from Tampa, Patrick McCary on the offensive line from Buffalo. Obviously, they make the big splash with Travis Hunter in the draft. Major roster turnover, major rebuild underway here in Jacksonville. But it's a rebuild with Trevor Lawrence, with Brian Thomas Jr., with Joshua Hines-Allen, with Trayvon Walker, now with Travis Hunter. So even though I do think it's a rebuild, Sal, it's a rebuild with a lot of names that a lot of NFL fans know very well.
From Buffalo, Mitch Morse last year as well. He actually kind of blasted the Jags organization in a way on Twitter yesterday for saying, I don't get this. Gabe Davis, such a culture guy. He played injured, all that kind of stuff that he talked about that, you know, people who are in the locker room are going to say. But in the meantime, Mitch Morse 1 year, he retires. What was that signing like for the Jags last year?
Yeah, Mitch Morse was fine. He was an improvement off of where they were the year prior with Luke Fortner. But again, nothing great. How great can you be at 4-13? There were a couple instances where Mitch Morse got blown off the ball in short yardage and the Jaguars would fail on a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1 because of it. Not to begrudge Mitch Morse. He's a veteran player. I thought he was a fine 1 year signing. And I saw that yesterday. I think Gabe Davis is just his guy. He talked about that when they both came here. They were buddies. They were happy. They both came to Jacksonville together. So I think he was just defending his guy on social media. But I can tell you, the Jaguar fan base was pretty happy at the Gabe Davis news yesterday because the Jaguar fan base really loves what James Gladstone and this new staff is doing here.
All right, so let's talk about that a little bit. The new staff, the new regime, they have the big swing in the draft. They trade up for Travis Hunter. What's been the reaction to that, and you know, how do you think it works out for this team, giving up all that draft capital, and then what is Travis Hunter's role?
It's been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, overwhelmingly positive. And look, people say they gave up a lot to get Travis Hunter. Yeah, in a sense that they did, but a lot of that hay is in the barn, Sal. I mean, the Cleveland got the 2nd-round pick, which they took Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State. They got a 4th-round pick where they took Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, but Jacksonville actually improved their 4th-round pick. Cleveland gave them their 4th-round pick, so they improved 20 spots. Jaguars took Michelle Tootin, the running back from Va Tech. The big sticking point is going to be that first-rounder next year. If Jacksonville's bad, and if that's a top 10 pick in 2026, then Cleveland absolutely won the trade. But if Jacksonville's good in a bad AFC South, and the AFC South is bad, and the Jaguars maybe, I don't know, win the division, and that draft pick is 25th, 26th, 27th, then I think people will argue that Jacksonville won the trade. So to me, it was worth the risk. James Gladstone and Liam Cohen wanted to come in and make a splash. And boy, did they ever when they brought in the Heisman Trophy winner. Imagine a tandem, Travis Hunter on one side, Brian Thomas Jr. on the other. If Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy, that's what people are salivating about here in Jacksonville.
Okay, I want to touch on that wide receiver point, but let's stay on Travis Hunter. How much does he play on defense? I mean, you go up to get him where they did. To me, that means you're going to use this guy as much as possible, giving up that capital. Does he play both ways?
Yeah, I think the idea is he's going to be a primary wide receiver.
Okay.
And I think he's going to work in maybe 15, 20 snaps on defense, obvious passing downs, 3rd-and-long, red zone, things along those lines. I do think he is going to play on both sides, but by no way do I think he's going to be a starter on both sides. I think he is a starting wide receiver and maybe a dime corner, or like I said, maybe coming in a 2-minute drill if the opposing team has to throw the ball Travis Hunter will be in there, maybe on their best receiver, something along those lines. He will play on both sides, but he will be a primary offensive guy here in Jacksonville, at least to start out.
All right, stay on the offense there. Deami Brown, a nice pickup, a nice free agent wide receiver for them. A lot of people here in Buffalo wanted the Bills to be interested in that. How does that work with him? You know, where does he fit in? And then talk about the running back position, because that was a spot where in the draft, Ryan, people thought that the Jags were going to go up and get Ashton Jeanty. They did not. Travis Etienne still the main running back with Tank Bigsby as well.
Yeah, Deami Brown's probably the reason Gabe Davis is no longer here, because Deami Brown was going to be above Gabe Davis on the depth chart, which was another reason. Well, Gabe Davis at best was going to be wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5, making all that money, and he's not going to play special teams. Right. So that's another reason why, and I don't particularly know if Gabe Davis is fully healthy either from that knee injury, which is another issue. But they love Deami Brown. I mean, you cannot see or say enough good things about Deami Brown from what I hear coming out of Jaguar OTAs and off-season conditioning. As far as the running back situation, Travis Etienne is probably coming into his final year here in Jacksonville. They got Tank Bigsby, who they like, but they drafted 2 running backs. I mentioned Bashel Tootin from Virginia Tech. He was the fastest running back in the draft, ran a 4.32 at the combine. They also got this kid, LaQuint Allen, out of Syracuse.
I know him well. I'm a Syracuse guy.
I imagine you probably do. I had to look this number up again, Sal. 64 catches out of the backfield last year. Absolutely insane. They think they got a steal with LaQuint Allen, so they are very, very happy with Tootin and Allen out of that draft class.
Yeah, I'm a LaQuint Allen fan. He did a lot for Syracuse last year, and Kyle McCord in the backfield and helping him out for sure, no doubt about that. All right, where is this organization with Trevor Lawrence? There's been a lot of smoke. What's true? What's fact? What's fiction?
I mean, he's the guy, obviously. They invested in him. It'd be nice to get him some stability. This is going to be his 5th year in the league, and if you go back to Clemson the last 6 years, this will be his 4th head coach and his 4th offensive coordinator. So that's obviously not a good recipe. They love Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen brought in a young staff, Grant Yudinski, a 29-year-old offensive coordinator. Obviously, James Gladstone, a GM, is putting talent around Trevor with Brian Thomas, with Travis Hunter, with Deami Brown. And now it's on Trevor. Trevor's going to have to go produce. They've spent money in free agency on the offensive line. They drafted 2 offensive linemen 2 weeks ago. So it's going to be on Trevor now, but they're doing what they can to surround him with talent. And he finally has a young, innovative mind on offense. Nothing against Doug Peterson, but I think the game might have passed him by a little bit. The Jaguar offense was very stale last year. Liam Cohen, with what he did with Baker Mayfield in Tampa, that's got a lot of people here pretty excited.
Where are they with Trayvon Walker? Same question. A lot of smoke around that as well leading up to the draft.
Yeah, Trayvon Walker is going to get extended. For the life of me, I don't know why people have such hate on Trayvon Walker. Is he Aiden Hutchinson? No, probably not. But Trayvon Walker is a hell of a football player. Mm-hmm. The guy's had 2 double-digit sacks, back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. Trayvon Walker is a good football player. And I get that he's not Aiden Hutchinson, but if you blank out the names and just look at the stats combined when both guys have been healthy, it's not as disparaging as one might think. I think Trayvon Walker's a good football player, and I'm happy he's a Jaguar.
Where are they deficient on defense if they have to look at a spot where they kind of still have to do some more here, or maybe it's a concern going into 2025?
I think safety. I mean, they added Eric Murray. We'll see what happens. They added Caleb Ransaw out of Tulane in the 3rd round. Safety might be a little bit of a concern, and they're banking on the interior D-line that they had last year. Mason Smith, Eric Armstead, Devon Hamilton, a little bit of Jordan Jefferson. They think the new change in staff, the new coordinator, the new defensive coaches will bring more out of the interior D-line than what they got a year ago.
All right, Ryan, before I let you go, new stadium in Jacksonville. Give us an update on that. We have one here being built in Buffalo. One more year inside this stadium. It's over 50 years old, and then the Bills will be inside their brand-new Highmark Stadium facility across the street. What is the latest update on what's going on in Jacksonville?
Full capacity here in Jacksonville in 2025. A limited capacity here in Jacksonville in 2026. Then in 2027, they're going to play in Orlando, it appears. That's not officially been announced yet, but my understanding is Orlando will be the home of the Jaguars for 2027. Brand new stadium opens up in 2028, and it is absolutely gorgeous. Construction has started a little bit. It'll obviously continue in the next year or two, but Orlando is where Jacksonville will probably land for the 2027 season before the Jaguar Stadium opens in 2028 in downtown Jacksonville.
Where are they going to play in Orlando?
Probably the Citrus Bowl or Camping World Stadium, as it's referred to, because that's the home of the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Is it a great venue? It's okay. It's a lot better than it used to be. They put some money in there. The thought maybe was Gainesville, where the Gators play, but the sidelines, the NFL's got a lot of weird rules, Sal, as you know. The sidelines have to be a certain length away from the crowd. The locker rooms have to be certain dimensions. And Gainesville struggled with a little bit of that. Orlando meets the criteria the NFL wants better. And Orlando's only about a 90-minute drive from Jacksonville.
Ryan, will they continue to go to London when all this happens, or is that still TBD?
That's TBD. I would imagine they probably will. There's been a lot of talk about that here in Jacksonville. My guess is they still will do one game in London, but again, that's up in the air with this brand new stadium of the future, a $1.4 billion stadium of the future opening in 2028.
Ryan Green, you can follow him on Twitter at RyanGreen1010XL. What's your favorite part about Disney, or what's your kid's favorite part about Disney?
Well, my little man's turning 6 years old weekend, so he just got tall enough, Sal, for Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right.
So we're gonna embark on that here in about an hour, and he's fired up for it.
Well, listen, tell him from all of us here in Buffalo, happy birthday to him. And listen, man, thank you so much for making time. I know when we communicated yesterday and you said you were down there, I felt bad. But for you to come on and do this during this weekend means a lot. Thank you so much.
Sal, you're the man. Anytime, brother.
All right, you got it. Ryan Green right there. Does a great job. Hacker After Dark. Follow him on Twitter, at RyanGreen1010XL. He does a really, really nice job. One of my favorite follows when it comes to other media. Just kind of really does a great job of kind of laying it out for the Jacksonville Jaguars and college sports, too. He's a big college sports guy. Tweets about college and Georgia, but mostly Florida Gators, Florida State. Down there they have that game, you can't say it anymore. It's called the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. They kind of changed the official name because it was too much of a referring to drinking. And come on, what are we doing? We're paying millions of dollars now anyway. Everybody's going in the portal, going places. I'm not coming to spring practice unless you give me $2 million more dollars. But hey, let's not refer to it as the largest outdoor cocktail party. So stupid. Anyway, let's kind of take a little stock of some of the teams on the Bills' schedule this year outside, because they're not playing Jacksonville. We had a caller who asked me a question earlier. Why is there no talk of the Bills playing internationally in Madrid this year? Are the Bills playing a game in Madrid this year? Because the question is, why couldn't they play the Dolphins there? The answer is they could. So to the person who called up earlier and said, why wouldn't they do that? I said, well, they can do that. They can play in Madrid. I guess the biggest reason why you don't think they would do it is because it's the Dolphins who are hosting it, and they're not going to put a division game over there. However, is it possible? Yes. Technically, rules-wise, like, it's possible they could do it. And good time to plug the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me. By the way, we got a special one coming up. I can't tell you what it is. We got a special one coming up really soon, like really soon. So make sure you're subscribed. You can go to my YouTube page, at Sal Sports. Hit the subscribe button, and as soon as it goes up, you'll get it. You can also just, if you like the audio part, not the video part, and like looking at us, you can subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and the Odyssey app and everywhere else. It's always game day in Buffalo. We got a special one coming up, but we had a really special one last month like we always do, and that is Mike North. Mike is one of the head schedule makers for the league. And I specifically asked Mike North, would you consider putting division games in Europe? And he's like, yeah. There's no rule that says they can't. In fact, let me look. I think there was, yes, history. Let me just look at the international games history, because I don't want to say this wrong, but I believe, speaking of the Jags, I think the Jags did play a division game or two in London over the years when they've been going over there. Let's see. Jags. Yeah, Jags-Colts. Here we go. Jags played the Colts in London in October of 2016. The Jags played, okay, and this is before, okay, so they started going in there, blah, blah, blah. Who else? And then they played, I think they had two of them, actually, if I remember correctly. They did play the Colts there 1 year. Did they play the Titans also? Did they play the Texans? There you go. Played the Texans there. The Jags have played two division games in London. Now, the Jags are a little different case. They go over there every year. They have this agreement. But there is nothing that says that you cannot play a division game. It is possible. I think the reason why people think it's not going to happen is it is Bills and Dolphins, and it would be weird to see that not played in Miami. That said, let's remember, the Buffalo Bills did play the Miami Dolphins in Toronto one year. Do you remember that? Josh, do you remember when the Bills, you remember the Bills-Toronto series? You can remember that. Remember when they played the Dolphins there, or no?
No, actually, I don't remember that at all. I remember the Seahawks one, but I don't remember the Dolphins one. When did that happen?
Bills played the Dolphins. Let me go back and look at here. Let's say in Bills Toronto series. I'm going to say maybe like 2012, maybe. Let's see. I'm probably wrong on the date, but let's go and give me. I'll give you the games. They played 2008. It was the first one. The Bills lost to the Dolphins 16-3.
It might explain why I don't
remember. On December 7th, 2008.
I would have been
in Toronto.
8 or 9 at that point. So that might explain why I don't remember it.
So that year, they play, that's when they started the Bills-Toronto series. They played the Steelers in the preseason that year, then the Dolphins in the regular season. The next year, they played the Jets. They lost again, 19-13. The next year, they play a preseason game against the Colts. And then that year, they played the Bears and lost 22-19. They had three straight years losing, Dolphins, Jets, Bears. Then they just beat handily the then Redskins, Washington, Halloween weekend in 2011. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think it's the week he breaks his ribs. There's the contract extension right around that time for Fitz. They beat Washington 23-0. Then you have the Seahawks in 2012 was the game, actually. That was, oh my God, what a 50-17. I'm sure a lot of you remember that.
That's the one I remember.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to do this again?
I would never rule that. I don't think so. No. I mean, once Pagula's bought the team, they basically said, like, that's, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Now,
I was,
could you have
though,
a one-off game outsourced? Sure.
Right.
I don't think you're ever going to have a series like that again, like every year happening, like Jacksonville does with London.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of fun now that, like, it's a completely different team and it's a much better team. And, like, you know, I don't know. I just think it'd be interesting to have it there.
I think people are getting very mad at you listening to that right now. Listening to you say that.
Maybe
it'd be kind of fun to go to Toronto every year. No.
No. Not every year, but like a one off thing, like you said.
One off every once in a while, a preseason, maybe.
Yeah.
What are you going to, you're not getting Josh Allen probably then if you play preseason though either. You know what I mean? True. So.
All right. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it's not that good of an idea. I think it'd be.
Last one that was played there was the Falcons overtime loss, 34-31. Remember that one? 2013. Then the Pagulas bought the team in 2014, and that's when it ended right there. Bill is in Toronto. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Great, love the show.
Thank you.
First-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the games, Buffalo Bills games at SkyDome.
Yep.
One of them was Buffalo versus Green Bay, and that was August 1997.
Way back. Okay, thank you. I did not realize that. I think you're right. So that wasn't part of the Bills in Toronto series, though.
No, I believe it was because there was Buffalo played Dallas, Atlanta. I don't remember the dates, but there was Dallas, Green Bay.
I don't remember them playing in Toronto in 1997. I'm going to go back and look right now. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on, I could be wrong. I wasn't living here at the time. They played Green Bay. They played at Green Bay in 1997. That game wasn't in Toronto, though. That game might have been in Milwaukee. They did not play the Packers in 1997 in Toronto.
No, it was the American Bowl, 1997.
Oh, preseason maybe?
Could have been.
Okay, that's what it is. It wasn't a regular season game. I think maybe preseason.
It could have been.
I got you. Yeah, thank you for the call. Yeah, but we're talking about in regular season. This didn't start till 2008. And the Bills did play in Germany one time. I think it was Germany, I think, is when they had the early 90s. They played a game out there. There was some other one-off games in different countries. Yes, yeah, sorry. So, yeah, maybe that was a preseason game, but they did not play a regular season game. Preseason, by the way, in 1997, I mean, actually, I can look this up. Hold on. Let's think about your memory here, Bill. Let's go to the preseason. I got this all right at my fingertips. 1997. I don't know if this site has these games going all the way back there. Preseason. Let's see if we can go to the week. No, I can't. 1990. Okay, let's see. Who did the Bills play in 1997? Broncos. And that was week one. I had to go to week two. I can't find it here. So maybe that was it. Some people out there are going, yeah, don't you remember that, Sal? I don't, if that was back then. The Bills did play. By the way, that's what it was. 1997 was, that's the game that Tasker got kicked out. That was his last game. Let's go to Lee in Buffalo, who's next up. Hi, Lee. What do you think?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Good.
Talking about, like, the Toronto games, I remember them, but I don't remember the teams, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, what about, like, season games? I mean, would it be bad, well, like you said, with the team being this good? Send the preseason game over there. I mean...
I don't need to have any game over there, to be quite honest with you. But I mean, if they're going to do it, I'm gonna have. I have a tweet here for you, Josh. Kevin tweets in, "I am not paying a PSL for them to play games in Toronto again." Everything Josh just said makes me want to fight. That's what I mean. You can't come on here and go, "Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go back and do it again."
I don't want to say do it regularly. I just, I don't know. I mean, what? How do?
How about people- playing away game there?
Okay.
Not take a home game away.
Okay, that's
fair. I don't know if the league would do that because it's so close, right?
Right.
They wouldn't be unfair to the other team.
But that's a better strategy there. You could say, hey, NFL, like maybe put a, I don't know,
I'm making everyone mad at Josh Schmidt today for suggesting the Bills-Toronto series.
It was
this
just
is
a thought.
Headlines, WGR host suggests Bills should renew Toronto series. He did not do that. I'm kidding. That is a joke. He did
I
not
just
do
think
that.
Maybe every once in a while, like every 5
yeah,
years.
I get it.
You throw a game over there.
Right.
You don't do a home game. I didn't specify that. I'm sorry. I specify it now. If it's an away game.
Oh, now you're going to change to an away game.
Well,
yeah,
I never
I
said
you.
Before if it was away or home. I never specified.
Do I actually don't think it's a terrible idea to, like, every 5 years play a game there if you're going to do international. Because eventually what's going to happen, I know fans are listening going, I can't believe the NFL is doing this. I get it all the time. I get it. I know. You hate games going over to London and Europe. A lot of you do. But the reality is, and the fact is, every team's going to have like one international game a year coming up soon. And to your point, if you're going to do that, maybe have one in Toronto every once in a while if you're going to have one every year. Then you're not going that far. And people could still go to that game. But anyway.
Do people feel that way about the England games? Like that tweet. Right there. Do people feel that
same? Oh, yeah.
Way?
Oh, if it's a home game, for sure. People are very upset about taking home games over there.
Okay.
100% they are.
How about this? Like, okay, if we're going to...
Yes.
Because we're getting into the world of PSLs now. Let's say it is a home game. All of the fans that have PSLs, what if they could, like, get ticket access easier than, you know, a normal
Well, if
fan?
It's a home game, you would anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they would do it. Like,
I didn't know that's how that works.
I'm pretty sure. You guys can tell me if I'm wrong. Pretty sure season ticket holders had first right to do that anyway.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Didn't know that.
It's just like when the Bills played in Detroit a couple years ago because of the weather situation, right?
Right.
Like,
yep.
Now, that might have been, I guess, a little bit different, but yeah, I think that's how they would do it. All right. If you have a thought on that, you can share it. Listen, this just started it with a very random thing we were talking about because of the Jacksonville Jaguars and their London series and all of that. This is not something on the table that I even want to dive much into. But if you have a thought on it, you could feel free because the schedule is coming out next week. And it is possible the Bills could play an away game internationally this year. And even Madrid, as someone said, why are we not talking about it? So I guess we could talk about it. You know what? When we come back, here's what we're going to do. When we come back, I will tell you all of the NFL international games this year. There are 7 of them. The Bills are actually a possible opponent in 4 of them, to be quite honest with you. That's up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, we started the show with a brushing teeth at work discussion, which kind of took us in a totally interesting direction. And now we got on to international games in the NFL, and we're talking about the old Toronto series. That's kind of fired a lot of you up, so let's hit the phone lines. Dave in Buffalo. What's going on, Dave?
Talking about getting fired up about that Toronto series. Yes, I am the perfect example of getting fired up.
long story short, I had my season since 1988.
Mm-hmm.
They, when they renewed that for the second go around in the off season of 2012, going into 13, I walked away.
Mm.
I said, I'm not watching one more game go up to Toronto. And that was the first thing that Pegulas took care of that off season going into 14. And I came back to almost the exact same seats I walked away from a year later. So
you're back. You came back. The team is obviously better now. It wasn't then. You know, they're still in the drought. That might have mattered a little bit, but the Toronto thing really kind of got to you that much where you said, I'm done.
It was horrible. Ralph made a boatload of money on the first 5 years, and then I saw the numbers for the next 5 years, and I was livid. I'm like, Russ Brandon, what did you do? Like, they weren't making any money on it.
Yeah.
You're better off keeping that one game in Buffalo, and then the first 5 years.
Let me ask you this, Dave, because you're a perfect guy to maybe ask. This is the discussion we actually were having, and, you know, with Josh here was, what if, because every team is going to play an international game, like, coming up soon. It's going to happen. It's probably, like, 1 year at home, 1 year away. Like, every other year, you got to host one. It's just the way the league is going. We know that. There's no turning back now on this. What if maybe every 5 years, that game was in Toronto? Would that be okay? Because you know that you have to play somewhere anyway.
That's fine, but to make us, you know, take away a game every year for Toronto.
Right. Yep.
They didn't want the game up there. I mean, hell, you guys over there know. They didn't want that.
No, I'm looking at the attendance, actually, Dave. Actually, I have the attendance numbers. The first game played there was 52,000. The final game played there, 38,000, 39.
They didn't want that game up there.
No.
Every Toronto person, anybody from Canada that has seasons, they come down every home game, to a person, they said, no, we want this environment. Yeah. And, you know, there was Bud Light set up a tent, a corporate tent for tailgating. I mean, Thurman will tell you that one. I think he went up for one of those. But, yeah, what really got me was when they took away a Miami game, those first 5 years, and I was livid. I'm like, I haven't missed a Miami game since 80, and you're taking that game away?
Yeah, and then the next year it was the Jets, two division games in a row. Good call, Dave. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your perspective on that. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you got it. So, Dolphins, Jets, Bears, Redskins, Seahawks, Falcons were the teams. They went two division games and three NFC games. Now, the way the international series works now, call it the international series because they play all these games internationally, is the NFL is expanding all the time, having new games in new countries. I mean, next year, folks, not this year, next year, 2026, there's a game in Australia. You can hate that all you want. It's not going back. It's not. The toothpaste is out of the tube. They're going to play in China at some point. They're going to play in Italy at some point. These things are happening. Just listen to the NFL tell you about it. You can think it's disgusting all you want. Some of you actually embrace it and say, no, I want to go to these places. It's a chance for me to go watch my favorite football team in a country I've never been to, or I've been to once or twice, and I'd love to go back. There are different perspectives. Not everybody hates it. This year, the NFL has 7 international games. The Chargers are hosting a game in Brazil. The Bills are not on the Chargers schedule. Won't be them. The Colts are hosting a game in Berlin, Germany. The Bills are not on the Colts schedule. It won't be them. The Dolphins are hosting a game in Madrid, Spain. The Bills are on the Dolphins' schedule, of course, as an opponent to go to Miami. It is possible, although unlikely, it would be the Bills. They could put a division game there. It's unlikely, but it's possible. The one we talked about a lot, the Steelers are hosting in Dublin, Ireland. That could be the Bills. We don't know. Heard a lot of smoke about the Packers. There's been some Bills rumblings. Could be the Bills. The Jags are hosting their yearly game in London at Wembley Stadium. The Bills are not on the Jags schedule this year. It won't be them. The Jets are also playing in London this year as a home game. I'll say the same thing I did about the Dolphins. It is possible. Probably unlikely, but it is possible. The Bills could go to London and play the Jets. And then how about this one? One we maybe not have talked about enough, which could be possible. The Bills are on the Browns schedule, and the Browns are hosting in London. You got the Jets and the Browns hosting in London. The Steelers hosting in Dublin and the Dolphins hosting in Madrid, all of them, the Bills are on their schedule going to their places this year. All possible. Although unlikely for a few of these, as I've said, all possible. When will we know? Officially next Wednesday night when the NFL schedule is released. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. We don't have much time left, but might have time for a quick comment or two on a phone call if you'd like. At Sal Sports on Twitter. Don't hate on Josh. He was not saying to renew the Toronto series. We're having fun with that. But let's go to Aaron in Hamilton. Hi, Aaron. You're on WGR.
Hi. They don't want to watch Bills in anywhere but in Buffalo. They don't want it in Toronto. Nobody came. Those numbers that you had there that you were looking at, they are wrong. They might have acted like they gave away those tickets, but nobody showed up. And nobody liked it. And the preseason games have been even worse up there. I think that the best thing that the league can do is just let Canada have their own football. That's what we like up here. And if you want to go and support your brothers across the river, you can go to Buffalo and hang out with your American friends and have a really good time.
Yeah, I don't know if the...
I had 15 years I had the season tickets through the drought.
Yeah.
And, I loved every bit of it. I got diabetes, can't come anymore. Okay. You know what I mean? Just get too crazy.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, Aaron. Hey, I got to jump off, and you're breaking up a little bit on my end. But listen, I mean, I know that there had been talk in the years past about, you know, Canada having an NFL team. I don't know if that's even on the table anymore. I haven't heard anything like that. The NFL doesn't even talk about expansion these days. And if they were going to do it, I don't think you'd put one in Toronto with the Bills just building a $2 billion stadium here in Buffalo and saying we draw from Toronto. Like, that just doesn't seem right. I know that what you were saying, though, about, you know, the attendance, yes, I agree. Like, people didn't show up. Let's remember the Bills were also terrible back then, right? They was in the middle. It was the drought. They didn't have Josh Allen. They weren't making the playoffs and winning divisions every year. But your point is spot on, which is nobody wants to have that happen. And that's why you get the pushback even with these international games and why we see people saying, I can't believe they're taking home games and putting them in other countries. Again, I'll say to you, you can hate that all you want. It's happening. It's not going back. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Thursday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's wrap up with a couple of tweets. Getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike, thank you very much for your tweet. He said, did the NFL ever consider neutral games? 8 home, 8 road, 1 neutral. Look, and I think the issue there, Mike, is, first of all, the locations are neutral, right? They really are. London's neutral. Madrid's neutral. Australia's neutral. But the reason why they don't have a neutral game is you kind of need a home team for financial reasons. You don't have to. There's logistics they could eventually work out, but when you have home game revenue, right? Like, somebody's responsible for getting the revenue, taking care of putting it on, putting the game on. Like, there's a home team for each game. There's a lot of logistics to work through. That's why they don't do it like that. Like, what does a neutral site game look like? Who's responsible for all of that? Right? I think that's a big reason why they don't do that. And the ticket generating revenue and a home team and selling it to their fan base and season tickets, that's a big reason they don't do that. The locations are already neutral. They're playing in all these different locations. And when you go to London, you know, yes, it's a, when the Browns are there, it's a neutral game, even though the Browns are the home team. So to answer your question there, that would be the best I could give you. Chuck, do you think the NFL will start to leak the international games? He called them intercontinental games somewhere this weekend. I don't know. I bet you on Monday, Tuesday next week, we start to hear things like that. You'll have people from the NFL or the networks, the play-by-play personnel and the announcers go on some of these morning shows on NBC or CBS or ABC and say, hey, week number whatever, we're going to get this game, and this is going to be an international game, and all that kind of stuff. Christmas, right? I still think the Bills are very much in play for Christmas this year, especially considering their Hallmark movie is coming. And Buffalo is, you know, the setting for that, the scene for that, the kind of the basis for it this year. So I think that's very possible, especially at home. We'll see what happens. Next week, the schedule does come out on Wednesday. Tomorrow is rookie mini camp. I will be down at the stadium. You'll have Zach and Derek and Josh here. I'll join them tomorrow, and we'll talk about the Bills rookies being on the field for the first time. In the meantime, Sabres Live is up next. One Bills Live after that. Chopin the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Thanks for tuning in to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Back tomorrow with rookie mini camp.